It's great to be here. This is a very challenging passage, and I have found it a real challenge for myself as I've been looking at it and preparing it. So I'd like to start by asking you, if I may, a really searching question. What would your reaction be if, before this service finished, we all suddenly heard God's trumpet call announcing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth and summoning us to God's final judgment? Because it will happen. It will happen soon. It will happen one day. It can happen any time. What would your reaction be? Would it be relief? Would it be joy? Would it be uncertainty? Would it be fear? Why don't we pray before we go further? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you promise to help us and to be with us when we meet together. And we need your presence and we need your help now. Please help me to explain this passage properly and rightly and to honour you. And Lord, please give us hearts which are humble and soft and open to hear your voice, that we may be moulded and changed and built up by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this passage, 1 Thessalonians, it's a letter. The Apostle Paul, God's authenticated messenger, is writing to the young church at Thessalonica to instruct them and to encourage them so that each of them would be ready and be unashamed when the Lord Jesus returns. And Paul begins by reminding them that Jesus is returning soon to judge the world. Jesus is returning soon. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." What's this phrase, the day of the Lord? Well, it's Bible language for the last day, the end of time, when God will come to judge the earth and wrap up human history. It will all end. There will be a new beginning. And the Bible teaches us two things about it very clearly. First of all, it's certain, absolutely certain. So basic that these young Christians have been taught it. You know this very well, Paul says to them. It's a core Christian belief. And if we'd said the Apostles' Creed earlier, we would have, with lots of churches around the world, have been saying, "He," that is Jesus, "will come again to judge the living and the dead. Everyone who has ever lived will be summoned to God's judgment seat." And the second thing the Bible teaches us very clearly is that it could be any time. I mean, it really could be any time. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Nobody knows when. Because thieves don't advertise, do they? I mean, that is essential if you're going to take somebody by surprise. You don't tell them what you're going to do. And because you never know when a thief is going to come and rob somebody around the corner, as happened to us a little while ago, you have to be on your guard all the time. You have to take precautions all the time. Steve Rees, our vicar at All Saints, has a lovely story about when he was a boy. And in one of the services, there was a visiting speaker, a missionary, an ardent young man. And what he said made a deep impression on him. He said, speaking about Jesus' return, he said, "Every morning I get up and I pull back the curtains and I say to myself, it could be today. It could be today." Jesus' return and the judgment of the world are both certain and could be any time, literally. And I think it's hard for us to imagine just how catastrophic that's going to be. It's going to mean, for all of us, the end of everything on earth as we've known it. The end of absolutely everything as we've known it. And I guess the only question that will matter to us is, what will Jesus' verdict be on me, on my life? What's he going to say about me? And following on from that, where will I be going next? And I think, if I'm honest, I find that scary. But if you're not yet a Christian, or you're not walking closely with Jesus, I think that's frankly terrifying. I think it is absolutely terrifying. And I think it highlights the need for everyone, all the time, to be right with God, to be repentant all the time, to have no unconfessed sin, to be in the right with him. Because God's judgment means that everyone, every one of us, faces one of two very different futures. Everyone faces one of very two different futures, either or. Now, there will be people who prefer to remain ignorant of the truth of Jesus' return. And we know that, they're around us. But back then, in Thessalonica, Paul's time, there were people who were saying in verse 3, if you've got your Bible, you see there, they're saying, peace and safety. We're okay, it's all right. They think the Christian message about God and about the coming judgment, well, it isn't for them. And we do see that around us today, don't we? I think the majority of people seem to think the Bible is irrelevant. And they encourage us to be authentic, to put ourselves first, to make our own choices, to live for ourselves. And sometimes, you know, it seems like the people in verse 7 there, whose only priorities seem to be indulging themselves and having an easy time, sleeping and getting drunk is the way Paul puts it. But there's a terrible danger in dismissing the truth about judgment because, Paul says, it puts you in the dark. And the dark is the place where you cannot see what's coming. You can no longer see danger coming. These people can no longer see the judgment coming on them. And the awful thing is, because Jesus' return will be sudden, as soon as he comes, there will no longer be any opportunity for people to repent. I think this is a great motivation for us to be telling people as often as we can about the importance of being ready and why Jesus is the saviour they need. Destruction will come on them, says Paul, verse 3, suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's just appalling and shocking, isn't it? A little while ago, I found myself standing on a platform of a small station somewhere on the East Coast Main Line. Can't even remember which town it was. And the trains on the East Coast Main Line, let me tell you, travel very fast indeed. The line is flat and straight and electrified. And I think they do more than 100 miles an hour normally. And on the platform, there's a broad yellow line. I mean, that wide, a foot wide, painted down the middle, and signs urging us to stand behind it. And I looked up and down and thought, well, I can't really see why. And then the first train appeared down the line. I could see it coming, just a dot. And rapidly it got big, and suddenly it was there, and it rocketed through the station. I tell you, it did. And there was a blast of air, strong enough to knock you off your feet, or drag you under the train if you were standing too close. Those warning signs were there for a reason. You needed to take notice of them. Vital for staying safe. And for people who are found ignoring warnings about the judgment to come and thinking they're safe, it's just going to be too late to escape. That's a terrible thing. For them, the result, Paul says, is destruction, will be destruction. Dreadful, eternal, total, personal loss. And the question for each one of us is, will that be me? Will that be me? Well, clearly, if you're not yet trusting in Jesus to save you on that day, he is the only one who can save you on that day. This is a very dangerous position to be in. And it just highlights the urgency, doesn't it, of turning to Jesus now while you can. But if you count yourself a Christian, Paul has a note of warning for us too. He's going to go on to warn us who count ourselves Christian not to be careless about always being ready. He's going to say to us, live every day in the light of Jesus' return. Live every day in the light of Jesus' return. Verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So, the Apostle Paul starts by recognizing the people he's writing to are definitely Christian, doesn't he? You know very well, he says, all these things. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So does he say something then like, okay, you've got your ticket to heaven booked. That's fine. Now you can relax. Now you can relax and enjoy the rest of your life. Is that what he says? No, he doesn't, does he? Verse 6, he gives a gentle but serious warning. Let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. And it's a warning we need to hear. I have found it in my Christian life since 1970. I have been trying to follow Jesus. I have found it quite easy, let me tell you, to become a bit envious of people around who live for their own pleasure. And it's easy to think that that is normal and right, and that we can be like them and begin to think like them and perhaps just indulge ourselves a little bit in our relationships, in the things we watch, things we read, internet sites we visit, way we use our leisure, way we use our money. Maybe letting things slip, Bible reading, regularly coming to church. How many people do you know who seem to become Christians, continue for a little while, and are no longer with us? I can think of probably 100 or more in my time at All Saints, probably more. It's serious, isn't it? And it can seem, though, a big ask, can't it, to Paul to be asking us to stay awake and be sober day after day, year after year, a whole lifetime, unless Jesus comes first. How can we do that? How can believers be ready? Well, Paul actually goes on, verses 8, 9, 10, 11. He tells us the secret. And it's not basically about doing anything, although doing does come into it. It's not basically about try harder. see what he says. Basically, he says, remember, keep on remembering what God has done for you. That's the secret. So, verse 8, don't forget where you belong. You belong to the day. Don't forget the armor that God has given you, faith and hope and love. There in verse 8, God's provided the armor you need, the protection you need. And this is a lovely one. Don't forget the privilege that you have as a Christian. Verse 9, you have been appointed by God. You think, you know, people who supply the royal household boast of having a crest by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen, don't they? We, brothers and sisters, have been appointed to the service of the living God, appointed by God for salvation. Don't forget, you've been rescued from death. You have been rescued from death. Verse 10, Jesus Christ has died for us. And don't forget, we already have been given eternal life. Verse 10, life together with him. It's all there, isn't it? And is it not wonderful? And therefore, Paul says, this is what you are to do with this. Therefore, this is the application. Encourage one another and build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing, but go on doing it. This is the secret. Encourage one another and build one another up. Paul says, we are in this together. We're in this together. This is why we need to gather together. This is why we need, if we can't be here, to be taking part on the internet, if we can. We're in this together. You can't do it on your own, he says. Keep on reminding one another of all that God has done for you. Encouraging one another, building each other up, and keep on, week by week, year by year, generation to generation, until the Lord Jesus does return, so that none of us here, none of us, would be found unready. Why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, this is a really sobering passage, but hugely encouraging too. So we pray that you would help us to remember what you say to us, that we may do it. And Father, thank you for this church that is marked by encouragement and building people up. Please help us to go on doing that and on and on. And Lord, may we all, each of us, each one here, be ready if the Lord Jesus should come at any time. Amen.